Please turn in your Bibles to the Epistle of 1 Peter. We're looking at chapter 2 today. It's on page 1294 of your Pew Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're looking at verses 13 through 17 today. 13 through 17. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word and for how it directs us about how we are to live in this world, how we are to live this life as servants of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to think clearly about what you say to us in your word. We pray, Lord God, that your Spirit would do his work here among us, that he would work in our hearts, that our hearts would be transformed and submissive to your word and even to those who you've placed in authority over us. We pray for his grace to work in us and that we would see Christ as our true King. We pray, Lord God, that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Well, if you've watched the news over the last month or so, even longer, you'll know that there have been some pretty considerable protests and riots in France. They call them the Yellow Vests, who are marching the streets weekend after weekend, some of them trying to be peaceful, some of them not so peaceful, performing a little bit of vandalism, a little bit of threats toward the government. There have been multiple injuries, even some fatalities in this movement. But it's all a protest by the people against the French government because of a tax that has been levied that they deem not right, too much, overbearing. It's too much for us. So we are going to show our disfavor for this tax by walking the streets, marching in the streets, by causing a huge disruption, huge chaos, a huge problem, and then maybe you'll reconsider your tax on us, the way you're ruling us. And when we look at those things on the news, perhaps we, you know, as Americans might have a little bit of sympathy for what they're doing. Maybe in your heart you're kind of championing the cause of these yellow vesters, especially as Americans who, you know, look fondly upon the American Revolution. You think about the way in which we were taxed and we, you know, root for the Patriots against the, not the New England Patriots, the football team. But you know, you root for the colonists against the crown, right? The people who have placed such a burden on us. We want to side with the rebels against the overbearing authority that's being placed upon the people. We have sympathy for them. But it's interesting, whenever you look at the scriptures, we're presented with a different picture. We're presented with a different take on our disposition to the governing authorities, the church's disposition toward those things and those feelings we might have toward the government in general. In his letter, Peter, to this point, so far has talked to us about who we are in Jesus Christ. And now he moves on into the section about how we are to be in this world, even a hostile world, as servants of Jesus Christ. And last time we looked at Peter, I know it was over a month ago, we looked at Peter and we saw how our need to keep our conduct honorable was preeminent. We need to keep our conduct honorable before the world so that those who watch us will glorify our Father in heaven. There would be no cause for them to defame and criticize God or his people because of the way we live our lives. And now Peter shows us some specific ways in which we are to do that in this world in relationship to those who are around us. And the first category of people that he discusses with us is those who've been placed in authority over us in the civil realm, those governing authorities that God in his providence has placed over us. So how are we as servants of Christ, citizens of heaven, supposed to relate to those earthly governing authorities? Well, Peter's answer for us is that we are to fear God and honor the government by submitting to it. So fear God and honor the government by submitting to it for the Lord's sake. That's the main point for you this morning. Fear God and honor the government by submitting to the government for the Lord's sake. And so right away, Peter tells us to submit to the government in all things. You see him saying this in verses 13 and 14. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to the governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Well, first off, Peter says, be subject to human institutions. That word for subject is a word that means to be obedient, to be ordered under, to fall in line underneath someone or something else. And so in the Gospel of Luke, we read of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, submitting or being subject, same word, to his parents. So submitting himself to their authority, obeying them, following them, and doing what they say. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 12 that we are to be in subjection to God the Father. And so all that God commands us, we are to obey. We are to submit ourselves to his authority. Paul uses this term in Philippians when he says that Christ subjects all things underneath him or to him. So all things will be brought in obedience to Jesus Christ in submission to him. And so again, this word means to be ordered under, to fall in line under, to obey someone else. This is what Paul intends when he uses the word in Romans 13, when he tells God's people to submit themselves to the governing authorities, to line up under them, to obey them, to do what they say. And it's this submission to government that Peter has in mind here when he tells God's people to submit, be subject to every human institution. An institution actually is the word for creation. Every human creation you are to be subject to. Now, Peter's not talking about that whatever humans come up with, that's what you have to submit yourself to. No, he defines his terms. He qualifies what he means by human institution by going on to say, if it's the emperor supreme or the governor sent by him. And so he's identifying that we're talking about the human institutions of civil government, of civil authority. It's to those I want you to be subject, Peter says. And I think Peter uses the phrase human institutions or human creation to tell us something, because he's not promoting or specifying one form of government over another. So it's not as if he's just talking about monarchy or he's just talking about a republic or a democracy, but he's identifying all sorts of human institutions of government. So in whatever ways humans have conceived to govern, be subject to that. So in whatever place you find yourself, whether it's to the king or whether it's to a president or to parliament, be subject to that. And so Paul says in Titus 3, be submissive to rulers, to authorities. You are to obey them, Paul says. And so this submission is not to be simply when it's convenient for you. It's not to be whenever it's comfortable. It's not just to be whenever you happen to like or agree with the laws. But Peter says, be subject. Order yourselves under the authority of the government. Line up under it. Obey it in every way. And Paul and Peter can say these things because they recognize that though the civil authorities are human institutions, though they are human creations, they're not ultimately brought about by man's power, and it's not ultimately man's idea, but it was brought about by God. It was instituted by God himself. which is why Peter says that we are to be subject to the authorities for the Lord's sake. You see that in verse 13. We're subject for the Lord's sake because they're established by Him. And therefore, they are His. Peter, along with Paul, believes that there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whomever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God, for he is God's minister for you. It's Romans 13. So whenever you submit to civil authorities, you're submitting to the Lord Himself. And this is what the testimony of Scripture gives us. We see this occurring in the Old Testament. Whenever the people of Israel were being taken into captivity, into Babylon, God told His prophets to tell His people that you're going into a foreign land, and I want you to submit to them. I don't want you to resist them while you're there. I don't want you to rebel while you're there. I don't want you to cause problems while you're there. But in fact, I want you to build houses. I want you to settle down. I want you to get married. I want you to seek the good of the land in which you find yourselves. Submit to the governing authorities. And so when Daniel is there, what does he do? He doesn't fight with them. He doesn't try to subvert the authorities. In fact, he actually becomes part of the civil authorities. He works laws. He tries to orchestrate things for the good of the people, of the government, of that society. And so you see Paul as well submitting himself to Roman law. And even Jesus submits himself to the laws of the land, corrupt as though they may have been. He submits himself to Pilate, all the while acknowledging that the authority that Pilate have is given to him from above, from God Himself. But even so, Jesus submits. And they all submitted because they knew it was ultimately to the Lord that they were submitting. Because God has ordained these authorities. And so when you submit to them, you submit to God. But they also understood God's purpose for government. Verse 14, Peter says that the governors are sent to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. This is a very general and simple description of what the basic function of civil government is really meant to be, why God has established it. It really is a common grace of God designed to keep the peace and seek the general welfare of society. It's to provide and promote order and stability. It's designed to restrain rampant chaos and anarchy. It's there to push those things away that will prevent and stifle human flourishing. And so even unbelieving and wicked rulers and governments can serve in this capacity by God's providence and by God's grace. And Nero, in fact, was the emperor that was in rule at this time when Peter and Paul were writing and saying, submit to the governing authorities for the good of society, for the obedience to God, for recognition that these rulers are only there by God's wise providence. So no matter how foolish or how silly a leader may seem or his laws may be, no matter how inconvenient and unreasonable that speed limit might be or those taxes upon you may become, we still submit to what God has ordained, what God has established. And thankfully, we live in a democratic republic where we can attempt to make changes in a very peaceful and orderly way. And we've decided that this is the way we can do things and we can create and affect change to one degree or another. But while those rulers are in place, we must submit to them and to the law. So we submit for the Lord's sake, not just because it's ultimately to the Lord, but we also submit as well for the Lord's name. For you see, your submission is God's will for silencing those who would criticize God and criticize the church. Look at verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Now, in and around the first century, there were multiple attempts at rebellion by the Jewish people who were under the rule of Rome at the time. There were many rogue agencies, so to speak, that were brought up, rogue attempts to try to overthrow and subvert the government. And time again, these were put down. and often brought great and terrible retribution against the Jewish people, ultimately culminating in the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem in 70 AD because these resistances got so inflamed and so great. And this is something that I think the writers of Scripture have in mind here. There's a recognition that if you are living in a subversive way, in a rebellious way toward the government, you can expect nothing less than retribution from the government. Because remember, they're there to maintain order, to keep peace, to keep society functioning well. And if you're trying to subvert it, they're going to try and snuff you out. They're going to try to stop you. And so we're not called to live rebelliously by the Lord, to bring the ire and reproach of the government. God is tasked to keep order in the world. If we were to do that, that brings criticism and scorn of unbelievers who will charge God's people with being subversive and a people who delight in chaos. But that's not who we are. And that's not who our God is. Our God is a God of peace. He's a God of structure, a God of order. And God who looks after the ordering of this world and does not want to see it disrupted in great ways by His people. But it is God's will, it's what He desires and requires, that we do good. And in the context of this passage, I think what Peter is talking about here is simply to be good citizens living in this world. To be those who are obedient to the law, to work to cultivate the peace and stability of the society around you. Again, Paul says in Titus, to be submissive to rulers and authorities, be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle and show perfect courtesy to all people. And that's to be our disposition in this world. That's to be our disposition towards our governing authorities. Above all others, Christians should be the ones seeking the welfare of the land in which we live, for the good of our neighbors, for the peace and the prosperity of the church. We should not be seeking to be any sharper of a thorn in the side of the government than a faithful gospel living requires. Let's not give them any more reason to reproach the church than the simple message of the gospel and the faithful living of the Christian life. Let's not add to the offense of the gospel by any disobedient or subversive attitudes and behaviors. We don't want to give unbelievers in this world, those who are ignorant of the truth, as Peter says, the foolish ones who deny God's existence, we don't want to give them any more reason to slander our God, to slander God's people or our Savior. Now, the reality still exists that we are children of light. We live in a dark world, and our light shines on that darkness and exposes sinfulness, it exposes wickedness, and that creates a response from unbelievers. But again, that's just being faithful witnesses of Jesus Christ. And we will receive scorn, we will receive criticism. But again, let's not add to that by any disobedience to the government, by living in a subversive way. Let's do whatever we can to obey the civil laws. Let's do whatever we can to show our goodness to our neighbors. Friendship, hospitality, love, overall good neighborliness, to silence the mouths of those who would criticize us. So, all right, as we think about this, I see you sitting there and I imagine you're thinking, well, okay, you want us to submit to the governing authorities in all things. That's what you're calling for. Absolute submission to the civil authorities that have been placed over us by God. But what if they call us to do something that's contrary to God's law? How do we determine whether we should submit to the civil authorities or submit to God Himself if those things become contradictory? Well, while we're called to submit to civil authorities far more than we would probably like to or like to admit to, when it becomes a matter of obedience to Christ or to the government, Peter says you are to live as free servants of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. You see, what the work of Jesus Christ has accomplished on your behalf is that He has set you free. He set you free from sin. He set you free from the curse of the law. He set you free from death. And He's actually seated you with Him in the heavenly places as joint heirs with Him in eternal life and the kingdom of God because of what Christ has done for you. You have been made new and made citizens of heaven. You're a royal priesthood, as Peter says in the earlier passages. And so the bottom line then is that you ultimately serve Him and that you ultimately submit to your King, the one who has seated you with Jesus Christ. No matter what, even if man-made authorities say otherwise, we must submit to God over man. And one of the things that we have really enjoyed about being back here in Pittsburgh is that our families are here. And we get to spend more time with the grandparents of our children. And it's been great for them to spend more time with them, to see them more often, to have a more of an influence in their in the lives of our kids. But one of the things that we've recognized is that one day with Grandma and Grandpa could create 3 or 4 days of retraining on our part. We need to try to reel them back in and help them to remember how it is that they're to behave and how they're to speak and things like that. Because, you know, they have different rules. They do things differently. But when we send our kids to spend time with them, we say, listen, Grandma and Grandpa are in charge of you. You listen to them. You do what they say. But you know what we expect from you. You know how we want you to behave. And if they want you to do anything that we would not have you do or that we would not give you or we would not want you to do, just tell them, you know, Grandma, Granddad, my mom and dad really don't want us to do this. And we pray hard that our kids will actually do that whenever the ice cream is in front of their face. But still, we expect them and desire them to submit to our law for them over and against those that we have placed in authority over them when we send them to them. And the same thing is true in the world in which we live. God is our ultimate authority. He is our Father. And yet He has placed over us rulers and authorities to whom we are to submit and obey. And yet, if they call us or ask us or lead us to do something we know we're not supposed to do, that our Father doesn't want us to do, we humbly and respectfully say, I'm sorry. My Father has commanded me, I cannot do this. I will not do this. And that's just what we see the apostles doing when they're commanded not to speak in Jesus' name anymore. What shall we do? Shall we obey man over God? Of course not. We won't do that. And even Daniel, who committed himself to the government, who worked for it, who enacted laws for it, who helped organize it, when the command came to submit to the idols of that land, to not pray to his God, but to pray to the king instead as a god, Daniel had to disobey because he knew what his father commanded him. Because he was living as a free servant of the true king, a free servant of Jesus Christ, and that's what you and I are called to do. You live as free from the leaders of this world when they call you to do anything other than what God calls you to do. This is honoring to God because it shows Him and the world around you that He is the ultimate authority in heaven and on earth and in your life. Over and above everyone else, that He is worthy of more honor than even they are. And this is why being good students of Scripture is so important. We need to have God's Word in our minds and in our hearts so that we can respond well whenever the pressure mounts. So we know how to speak, how to act when we're asked or requested to do something that's contrary to God's Word. We'll know what's right. We'll know what's wrong. God has given us a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So we fill our minds with the Word of God so we can live as free servants of Jesus Christ. So in Christ, you are free from the ultimate constraints of human authority. But it's also important that we don't use that freedom in Christ to live in sin or live rebelliously. Look at verse 16 again. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. The temptation exists that we've been set free from sin, so it doesn't matter if we sin because we've been forgiven, right? So it doesn't matter what we do now. We can do whatever we want because our sins have been forgiven, right? Where sin increases, so does grace. It abounds. Well, by no means. We know that that's not the case. We know our sins have been forgiven. We can't use that liberty in Christ, the forgiveness we have in Christ, as a cover-up for doing whatever we want sinfully, because it will just be forgiven anyway. And in the same way, we can't use our freedom in Jesus Christ, being set free from the constraints of human authority if they call us to do something wrong, as an excuse to go do whatever we want. Because, hey, we serve Jesus, and we don't have to listen to you anymore. That's not at all what the Scriptures call us to. It calls us to that healthy balance of submission to Jesus, but also submission to civil authority. But we need to make sure that they're in line, that our submission to civil authority is always under and in submission to Christ's law and to Christ's authority. So we don't use our freedom in Jesus as an excuse for evil. But it's this healthy balance, it's this sanctified submission is a way that we bring blessing to both God and to man. Look at verse 17 finally. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. So Peter says, honor everyone. This is his last summary of what he wants to say. Honor everyone. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You're showing honor and respect to your society and your fellow citizens who all live and function under this order when you commit yourself to living according to this order. You're not going against or violating the social contract that you have all agreed to submit yourself to by your subversion or rebelliousness. Love the brotherhood. You love the church by your submission to the state. Because if your rebellion were evident, your submission were brought forth, you would unnecessarily put a target on the church and on your brothers and sisters in Christ and bring the ire and anger of the state against the people of God. And that's an unloving thing to do. You could also be leading them astray by your rebelliousness into sin. Fear God. Your submission to the governing authority shows your fear of God because it respects the order and the institutions that He has created, but also respects and honors and shows your willingness to submit to His wise providence even under a wicked and ungodly government. And your submission to God over man declares to him and to the world around you that the Lord Almighty is the ultimate authority to fear, the ultimate authority to which you submit. And then finally, honor the king. One last reminder to submit to the one who in God's providence has been placed over you for your good, for the good of society, and for the stability and order of the place in which you live. Which is why Peter and Paul all call us to pray for our rulers, that we could live quiet and peaceable lives and that the gospel could spread freely. And so we pray to that end, but we need to make sure we fear God and honor the government by submitting to it for the Lord's sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray, Lord God, that you and by your Spirit would cause us and help us to walk in this way. Walk in a way that respects the authorities placed over us. Give us the grace to do it. And we pray that our faithful witness and submission to the authorities would cause those mouths to be silent that would criticize the church. And in fact, would be used as a witness to call those to Jesus Christ, to the true King, that their sins would be forgiven and find grace in your sight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well,